Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, the show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. In the middle of the Riya Sushant coverage, the demolition of Kangana Ranaut's office, even the ignored subject of rising COVID numbers, there is another key development which has largely been overlooked by the media. The situation at the border. Make no mistake, as expert after expert will tell you, that India-China face-off is at its worst in many decades. In fact, some argue this is a flare-up we have not seen in over four decades. There is, of course, a diplomatic and military argument on what has changed and who has changed the status quo. Is this a result of India standing up to China's policy of salami slicing? For those who do not know, salami slicing would mean an expansionist strategy of chopping off India's position slowly over a large period of time. Then there is a political argument on whether we have stood up to the Chinese effectively. We see how every day there is a punch, counterpunch on China, not on the LAC, but between the Congress and the BJP. We'll be discussing both these aspects on our show today. But one thing is certain, protecting the integrity of our borders is not an optional proposition for anyone anymore. Chief of Defence Staff General Bipin Rawat told a House panel on defence that we are ready for any eventuality. So on The Big Fight tonight, India and China enter a protracted dialogue and a protracted dispute. Can this fight back by India, which is not an optional matter anymore, tame the dragon? And is it now time to end these salami slicing techniques of China? And also on the show a little later, we'll be joined in by Yashwant Sinha. I'll be asking him questions on whether our Chinese strategy, our strategy towards dealing with China, is correct. And if not, what really can be done? So let's quickly kickstart The Big Fight. I want to introduce our guests. Ambassador Vishnu Prakash is now with us. Brahma Chelani, strategic affairs expert, is also with us. KC Singh, former diplomat and a strategic affairs expert. Thank you so much. Aina Tanjan, political analyst and commentator, joins us from Beijing. Seema Sirohi, columnist for the Economic Times, is also with us. And a little later, we'll be joined in by a political panel with the Congress as well as the BJP representatives. All right, so let's begin The Big Fight with the opening round, which is called the first punch. Ambassador Vishnu Prakash, I would want to start with you. We give 1 minute opening comments time.
All right. As far as the meeting is concerned between the two foreign ministers, the only good thing, or one of the good things, is that the meeting happened. Now, there are no 5 points as far as I am concerned. There is only one point, and that is restoration of status quo ante, on which the Chinese side is mum. In fact, they have gone out and put out a press release to say that India does not consider bilateral relations to be dependent on the settlement of the boundary question, which is contrary to what we have said. Am I hopeful as a diplomat or a former diplomat? I'm always hopeful. Am I optimistic? Unfortunately, I'm not optimistic. Can we trust the Chinese? I'm afraid we cannot.
Finished 8 seconds early. That's Vishnu Prakash for you. Thank you so much. Brahma Chelani, I want to come to you. Your opening comments.
This is a third agreement between China and India to defuse the present crisis. The first agreement to de-escalate tensions was reached on June 6th between rival military commanders, but that agreement was followed by the Galwan Valley clashes. The second agreement was reached in early July between the Chinese foreign minister and India's NSA to disengage rival forces at all the friction points. That accord led to India setting up buffer zones in Galwan Valley, in Hot Springs, and in Gogra. Yet that agreement collapsed because China refused to implement its part of the deal. So the big question is, will the latest agreement stick? The latest agreement doesn't claim to be a disengagement agreement. Rather, it is an agreement to continue the dialogue to disengage forces. In other words, it's an agreement to hold more talks. In the coming days, rival military commanders are expected to hold yet another round of talks. So the meeting in Moscow should be seen as an effort to prevent a further escalation of border tensions and to avert renewed skirmishes.
Okay. Dr. Chelani, I'm going to come back to you. Thank you so much. Ambassador Casey Singh is also with us. Ambassador Singh, a one-minute time for your opening comments.
Look, we must see two things. One is the Punch Shield 2, which is the 5 points. And the second one is what the Chinese ambassador in Delhi has tweeted, a report in their media of their version of what happened. Now, you know, that is what needs to be taken into account, because there are 2 points made there which are interesting. One is they said China conveyed its stern position that the provocations concerning firing and personnel, unauthorized personnel and equipment crossing the line. Now, this they are referring to what we did at the end of the month. They're not talking about what they crossed, because they think they have not crossed any line. And the second one is, they said the Indian foreign minister, external affairs minister, told them, they claim that the relationship is not dependent on the settlement of the boundary issue, and therefore that we are not going back on that. Now, both these points raise multiple things. Now, one is, why are we saying that the boundary settlement is not in any way linked to the relationship any longer? Because then the Chinese keep the knife on your throat all the time and use it whenever they want. We've seen every year, every other year, whenever they want to affect India's strategic behavior, they just escalate at the LAC simply because LAC is not defined. This is a great moment to tell the Chinese that...
Okay. Ambassador Singh, if you allow me, we're giving 1 minute time for an opening comment, but I'm going to come back to you so that you can complete your thoughts. Just one moment. Seema Sirohi is also with us. Ms. Sirohi, your opening comments, please.
Well, sitting in Washington and watching it all, it seems to me that the Chinese are entangling India in, you know, multiple sets of talks. And to further sort of obfuscate what is the real issue. The real issue is returning to status quo ante. None of the statements so far mention that. So I am not optimistic, and it is just part of the Chinese behavior. It's a pattern that we are seeing across the world, and they don't plan to retreat, it seems to me. And India has to decide which way to go. Are they going to accept what's happened on the ground, or take some preventive action somewhere else along the LAC?
All right. Anna Tanjan, I want to come to you now. You've seen that representative after representative from India seem to suggest that they've got very little hope because they see this as a part of a strategy by China. So I would like to give you your 1 minute of time for your opening comments before we throw this open. Aina Tanjan.
Well, I would agree with my colleagues that there is a massive trust deficit, but it works two ways. I mean, for China, it began with the 370, the statements by senior government officials on the Lok Sabha that they would not rest until areas controlled by China, Sakhalin, were back under the control, that Kashmir, even the parts in Pakistan were there. So they saw that as laying down the glove. And then in combination with the building of the a road, which is not economics, purely strategic, they saw this as an aggressive move. So they went in and they tried to make sure that they had a position above the road. This has led to where we are today. So, yes, India can point to what China has done, but China also points to what India has done. So at this point, the most important thing is to realize that both these nations are fighting over something, an area that cannot support human life, and that there are bigger issues that need to be addressed.
Okay. Yes, Anna Tanjan. You know, okay, you've completed your 1 minute, but let me ask you this question. You know, the last point that you mentioned, there are bigger issues to deal with. And there lies the problem in understanding. Because in India, we feel that the bigger issue is to make sure that these border issues are settled or border matters are settled. At least the skirmishes or the attempt to change the status quo that is being done by China
ends. What China wants in the relationship is that there should be constant talk on trade, which India wants too, that diplomacy must resume, and you want to put the border standoff on a back burner. Now, you know, there is an expectation mismanagement here.
Well, quite frankly, the bigger issues are that you have lots of people dying. You have COVID-19. Actually, India could use help. China and India should work together to make sure that this pandemic comes to a close within India and that there can be a rebuilding of the economies. Talking about border disputes when people are starving or in need seems to me a lesser issue. Now, obviously, there are strong nationalistic tendencies on both sides, which are pushing this kind of agenda. But, I mean, at this point, you notice that during the Chinese statement, their unilateral statement, before the one that was a joint statement, they did not mention that this was India's fault. China is trying to extend what they believe is an open hand of friendship. But, you know, this, once again, this trust is an issue, and it can only be addressed through confidence-building measures, through talk. Now, if you want to go find body bags for young men and send them back to their families, that's fine. If you think that's a solution, it didn't work in 1962. It hasn't worked in any of the skirmishes that India has been involved. Sure. They still remain. So at this juncture, there are bigger issues that need to be dealt with, and this is not the one of them.
Okay, let me get in a response. Ambassador Vishnu Prakash, I think I saw him smiling through your comments. So let me first go to him. KC Singh and then Brahma Chelan. Yes. Ambassador.
Well, with all due respect, I find this observation rather curious and unusual. If I were to strip it of diplomaties, what he's saying is that if there is an internal difficulty, economic or health-wise, then let them nibble away at your territory, take their help. Well, thank you very much. It so happens that
that's
we
not
have
what
been there. That's how I heard it, my friend. But, I mean, we can discuss it. So, basically, the long and short of it is not a one-time thing. We have gone out of the way, really, to accommodate Chinese sensitivities, which has not been reciprocated. And since 2013, we see the incursions turning into standoffs. And now, at this juncture, for the Chinese to amass troops and equipment and armament the way they have done does not augur well for the relationship. Mm. 30 years of CBMs and everything has been thrown out of the window. So we have a difficulty. Till this salami slicing stops, I think it is difficult to regain trust.
Okay, Mr. Ayana Tanjan, I'll give you a right to reply. You wanted to respond to what Ambassador Prakash said. See, that's his understanding from what you have said. He never claimed that this is what you said.
No, this is not what I said. Border issues are national issues. They're not going to be resolved. Both sides need to maintain face. They need to have a dialogue with their own people, which shows that they have maintained the integrity of their national borders. But my point is that, you know, this kind of posturing and this idea that somehow war will settle issues is preposterous. I mean, in terms of the China-India relationships, they're not good. I mean, already you've had many instances where you've outlawed basically every Chinese
whom?
App. You're trying to
it
get
seems
rid
to
of
suggest,
Chinese
Mr. Tanjan.
This is not exactly true.
Beg your pardon, Mr.
The
Tanjan.
The idea was that at some point...
I kind of get a sense that you seem to suggest that this is just not good for India. Standing up to an aggression along the border is not good for India, right? But I'll come back to you.
No, that is not true at all.
Okay.
My point was that it seems in Beijing that India has used this as a kind of tactic to, you know, amass people's attention in India to something else. If you look at the Chinese newspapers,
I don't agree with that.
If you look at the media, quite frankly, this is not even on the second page. All right.
What are you saying?
We're
debating it in prime time.
It is something that is consuming the media.
It's 9 p.m. in India, Indian Standard Time, and we have you on our show, and we are debating this. Of course, it's not a...
I know, but...
I mean, I don't know why you're calling
it
a diversionary tactic.
Chinese media.
One moment. Let me get in a response.
If you switch on CGTN, if you switch on CCTV, you're not going to see any mention of these tensions. All right? There is just oblique mentions. The leading story about India in the press today is about the number of COVID deaths there, not about this particular issue.
Sure, now, Ambassador Singh, I want to bring you in. Ambassador Prakash, I'm going to come back to you. Ambassador Singh and then Brahma Chelani.
Look, I don't like this interaction each time you go back to him. This is like the voice of Global Times. This is a very pro-Chinese voice, which is just running down everything you projected. But why do you go back to him each time? He's had his say. You can't keep interjecting and giving the same repetitive view that nationalism is more important for China. Let me ask him one simple question. 1962, when the Chinese attacked India, there were mass starvations in China. In fact, subsequently, we learned that Mao, in fact, attacked because his leadership was in question. And we had discovered later the famine had caused, because of his great leap forward, which had failed miserably, tremendous starvation, millions of starvation deaths in China. Now, he will say no. So was it important for China at that stage not to worry about starvation? Was it creating a diversion from a challenge to his leadership? What kind of a question is that? All politicians have to pay attention to domestic politics, certainly in a democracy. China is not a democracy. He's consolidating power. He's consolidated more power than any other leader. And India is not the only country he's having a problem with. He has a problem with almost every neighbor, starting with Japan downwards, East China Sea, South China Sea. They've just had two planes intrude into Taiwanese airspace today. They are questioning. They've created artificial shoals in South China Sea in contravention of the UN Convention on Laws of the Seas, and then claimed economic zones around them. Is there a law? Is there any international law that China believes in? Or whatever they say is the law? What kind of logic is this?
Okay. Look, okay.
Let me make one final point.
Sure, sir.
Is nationalism and there is a sense of belief in your own country. And I don't think economic problems or other problems are incidentally caused by China. China should be ashamed of moving their troops in this manner, having caused this pandemic in the world. In fact, the world should be demanding compensation from them. India has been so sensitive, we've not used the word Chinese virus, which is being used in America. And there is a global decoupling from China, which is underway. And that is what China should care about, not worry about India.
Okay.
We'll handle
that. Okay. I'll give you a right to reply, Mr. Aina Tanjan. Let's quickly get in a response from Brahma Chelani as well as Ms. Sirohi. Mr. Chelani, I want to ask you this question. Do you think that China did not expect this sort of a response from India to begin with? Is it still learning to cope with this new strategic template, if you were, of New Delhi?
Well, I hope this won't be a debate between the Indians and Mr. Tanjan, because Mr. Tanjan represents the voice of Beijing, and this is an important issue for us, in India, to debate among ourselves. But having said that, one should not forget that the Chinese Communist Party's old tactic, ever since the party came to power, is to commit aggression and then talk about peace. They have been doing that right from 1949. In fact, no sooner did they come to power than they began committing aggression. They committed aggression in Tibet. They gobbled up Tibet. And that's how China became India's neighbor. China is a new neighbor of India. The India-China border historically was the Indo-Tibetan border. And if you look at China's latest aggression against India, this is being driven by President Xi Jinping himself as part of his aggressive expansionism, an expansionism that has made him open multiple fronts simultaneously. Less than 2 weeks ago, President Xi made his hardline policy toward India public when addressing a Tibet-related meeting in Beijing. He called for securing the border with India and turning Tibet into an impregnable fortress against separatism. Securing the border with India has meant altering facts on the ground by force. There is a clear shift in China's strategy that we must take note of. China has made its intentions clear through its incursions into eastern Ladakh. They have made it clear that they want to settle issues not at the negotiating table, but on the ground, that is by force. It has effectively redrawn the LAC in several Ladakh sectors. Through its actions, China has shown that it is going by the literal meaning of the line of actual control. That is the line you can actually control. Mm. That's how they interpret the line of actual control. Mm. This explains China's focus on altering the LSE by grabbing more territorial control. So given this strategy, India has to stand up to China. Because if India does not stand up to China, China will become a bigger threat, not just to India, but to the Indo-Pacific region as a whole.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Tanjan, I would like to come back to you and then to Ms. Sirohi. Mr. Tanjan, you have heard the opinion of ambassadors here, of diplomats, of strategic affairs experts here. I want to ask you this question. What is the sense, apart from the fact that this is not even being covered in the Chinese press, as you rightly mentioned, I want to ask you, do you think that the Chinese have painted themselves in some sort of a corner with this sort of tough positioning, that China does not know or never expected India to retaliate or respond to protect its borders? Is that the problem?
Well, no, the problem is that your perception is not the same one that they have in Beijing. They Absolutely. See India as the aggressor, as I mentioned earlier, with 370 and the ongoing the road and the statements by your government that they would not rest until they could seize back these lands. I think that's pretty indicative of attitude. Then you add on top of that the economic warfare that India is waging on China. You have the right to do that. But, you know, you can't say that somehow China is being the aggressor when you are. It's a very good trick of Donald Trump to accuse other people of doing what he's doing himself. But I think that should be beyond India. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that, these ambassadors who are diplomats do not see beyond the kind of military issues that are on the table. The whole point with the generals is they talk about strategic issues and advantages. Diplomats are supposed to look as statesmen and understand that you have two neighbors, they have to get along,
but they can't be divorced from reality.
What will they fight about?
Mr. Tanjan, they can't be divorced from reality. You look at pictures. You talked about India being the aggressor. Let's
I think they are divorced from reality. Because the reality is that your economy is suffering. That, you know, China has been holding an open hand towards India, but it's been slapped back. I know that India needs, for security reasons, believes that it needs to be closer to the U.S. and that it needs to have economic support
Mr.
elsewhere.
Tanjan, India's
but
not alone.
Now you're turning your back on that.
India is not alone in accusing China
can't blame others for doing
of using this weak economy around the world to further its own cause. It is a known fact.
Oh, hardly.
It is a known fact. And since you spoke about aggression,
China is the one who's giving
Mr. Tanjan,
abatements in terms of payments.
In India, we call this tutu meme.
The ones who are doing the belt.
I assure you, I'm not going to enter into
India
that.
What is India doing at this point?
Mr.
Tell
Tanjan,
me what India is doing at this point. Further regional cooperation, infrastructure development.
Mr. Tanjan, very quickly, I believe we have to let you go also. Mr. Tanjan, you said that Beijing perceives India as the aggressor. Let's put those pictures on screen right now and let our viewers decide who the aggressor is. These are members of the PLA and they are in Pangong So. They have machine guns. They have spears in their hand. Now let's talk who the aggressor is. It's pretty obvious what the strategy is. The world over, people know.
Troops on the higher mountains and how they're armed and the fact that they were shooting off warning shots.
Okay.
I mean, both sides are armed. These are military men. There was a battle, pitch battle, that was fought with stones, rocks, sticks, etc. But you'll notice that they are not firing at each other.
Okay.
If you want them to fire at each other, that's up to you. I don't think that is a solution.
Hmm. Okay, Mr. Tanjan, I believe we have to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us on this discussion. Seema Sirohi, I want to come to you.
I'm so sorry.
You've heard what Mr. Tanjan had to say. I mean, this is Beijing's view. They look at India as the aggressor. By standing up to China, by standing up to this salami slicing, have we become some sort of an aggressor in the eyes of Beijing? And is it necessarily wrong?
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, what he was saying is so ridiculous. It doesn't even, you know, deserve analysis. But I will say a couple of things. The main thing is that the Chinese game is now exposed. Nobody in the world really believes China, even Pakistan, you know, in its finer moments, has doubts about what China is doing through CPEC. and putting it into a debt trap. So, you know, all his lecturing and preaching about what India should do when its territory is under Chinese control right now, you know, that is just ridiculous. Which country will allow, you know, its sovereignty to be violated and Absolutely. Not do anything about it? The thing is, China is running desperate. It has, its narrative has been exposed and decimated because nobody, no country believes it anymore. It's fighting against Australia. It's fighting against Japan. It's totally penetrated the open American society. So the Americans are finally woken up to China. So basically, it has nobody left to exploit. Mm. It can play its little games with smaller countries, but frankly, no country of substance and with a credible military is going to now listen to China and believe its lies. Okay. It's as simple as that.
Okay, Ambassador Prakash, and then Dr. Chelani, I want to ask you, you know, I'm actually intrigued, why has China's bluster and bang not changed and the saber rattling not toned down despite these talks?
Well, the simple reason, as Honorable quote-unquote Wang Yi said, that China is a permanently peaceful country in its 5,000 years of history, and they do not have one aggressive gene in their system. So it's a noble country, it's a friendly country, it's a nice country. They take over territory from other countries for doing them a favor. You know, and the press release also said that India and China are not threats to each other, but cooperative partners. Well, very good. Their definition of cooperation is slightly different from our definition. But on a more serious note, you know, they are a prisoner of their own our own publicity, their propaganda. Hmm. Now, they have contrived this propaganda that they have to erase a century of humiliation. Why? Because they were under party under the rule of some other countries. What about the rest of the world? Does every country adopt that attire? I mean, it will lead to chaos. So they are, okay. They have picked up too many fights. Hmm. I think they have overreached. And perhaps, it's my comment is tinged with hope, perhaps they will have to pay the price.
Okay, so for the remainder of the 15 minutes of this of the big fight, we are now going to, we spoke about diplomacy, we spoke about strategy. Let's now talk about the politics. I have the politicians also on board with us. Lalitha Kumaramangalam, member of the BJP and director of India Foundation, and Supriya Shinate, national spokesperson of the Congress Party. I request all of you all to please stay on with us, Ambassador Singh, as well as others. Lalitha Kumaramangalam, the point is that, you know, we've seen this form of aggression from the Chinese. You are often accused politically at home, domestically, of mismanaging this crisis. While you keep saying that we have stood up to the Chinese, why is there such a difference in your understanding of what you're doing with China and the Congress Party, particularly, their understanding of what you are doing with China?
Sanket, let me be brutally frank. Unfortunately, that's what politics has come to, that two opposing parties cannot see eye to eye on anything at all. Now, insofar as China is concerned, I was hearing a bit of what, I wasn't in for the part on screen, or I couldn't hear much of the earlier, what was being said earlier by, I don't even know who are the others who are on there except for Mr. Chelani.
Okay, Aina Tanjan, he's
that,
a...
No, but the fact is that...
He's an analyst from Beijing.
All right. The fact is that that... I don't think the BJP is taken in by the Chinese beating their drums, or the fact that they appear to have, that they appear to have sounded conciliatory today. All of that is part of the Chinese habit of pulling the wool over people's eyes. Mm. The fact is that India has changed in the last few years. We have stood up to them. There are certain things that. With regard to foreign policy, especially with regard to foreign and defense policy, where they are to work together, that cannot be spoken about in public, even though most people would like it to be totally 100% out there for everybody to see. But I think that also let me digress a bit. There was a tweet that was put out by Kiran Rijiju which said that the boys who were kidnapped from Arunachal will probably be returned tomorrow.
Yes.
If that tweet is actually true,
yes, it is.
Then that should be called a change in the relationship between India and China.
No, but then many people will say that this is classic Chinese strategy of two steps forward, one steps back.
The Chinese are known to be duplicitous. Everybody in the world today accepts it. But they have also got a lot of strikes in that have been there against them. Remember that economically also China today is in trouble. Yeah. Their Belt and Road Initiative has been overexposed financially. They have had to walk away from billions of dollars they've invested in Africa, in Asia, in the Pacific Rim countries. Many, many things for them have gone wrong.
Okay.
China is also facing possibly, and this nobody really knows for sure, some sort of unrest within the Communist Party or the CPC. That will never really come out fully unless it's actually out in the open, and we God only knows.
Yeah,
you need to understand that it's not just externally that China is facing problems or is facing opposition.
It's internally as well. Fine, I get your point. But see, my question was very different. My question was, why is this not being perceived as a collective fight against China in India? Why is there a political...
I wish it was.
I have Supriya Sinha with me.
Regardless of our political differences, the parties should be able to bury
the hatches,
not
going to,
in each other and not...
Let's listen to why they feel that the government strategy is incorrect. Supriya Sinha, I want to bring you in. Let's listen into what...
The parties should be able to work together on this.
Let's listen in. Let's listen to the Congress's perspective.
We can have our disagreements. All parties do.
Okay,
but we must learn to work together on at least international and foreign policy.
So let's listen into their point of view. I've got
powerful and as
Lalita ji, one moment. One moment. Let's listen into Supriya Sinha's argument. Supriya, now let's take a look at this joint statement. Right? The joint statement, has it changed much on the ground? There are no timelines. Maybe we are expecting too much too soon. No framework for disengagement, perhaps just a resolution to talk more. As Ambassador Vishnu Prakash was saying just a short while ago, many of the experts here seem to be saying that, by now you know the strategy of China. I want to know from you, Supriya, why does your party feel that the government's strategy in dealing with China is incorrect or incomplete?
You know, with all due respect,
I'm sorry, I can't hear her at all. As far as your body of ambassadors are concerned, and of course,
strategic affairs experts. I will just say one thing. I don't think there is an issue here as far as political slugfest or political mudslinging is concerned. This is an issue which is much above all of us. It's about our strategic national security. Now, if you see the statement which was issued after the meeting of the two foreign ministers, it has no mention whatsoever of the status quo ante. And as a responsible opposition, as citizens of this country, we would like to know what is happening on that. There is no denying now that China has entered our territory. There is no denying that the talks were on restoring status quo ante. So what has gone wrong? Are we going to allow China to continue to capture the land that they have? I mean, that is the big question. They need to be pushed out. And this statement doesn't mention that. And that is a cause of concern because this government has time and again, and I'm not being partisan here, but this government has time and again gone back and forth. They first said nobody's entered, then the Defense Ministry put up a report, then that was taken down. This is not how strategic affairs and national security can be dealt with. These are very big, very sensitive issues.
Okay, quick right to reply to Lalita Kumaramangalam. You heard the concern of the Congress.
I couldn't hear anything of what she said. Could you just tell me what the base, the gist of what she said? I'll be very happy to reply. I just couldn't hear what she said.
Okay, so
like
she's basically saying that the back and forth that you keep doing on China, the Congress party has reiterated this on a number of occasions, and now the sort of position you are taking is just mismanagement.
What back and forth? I'd like to know. First of all, we have from day one said that India will always prefer to have a peaceful solution, but we are also equally prepared to fight for what is ours, to retain our land, to protect our people. I think that has been shown over the last 2-3 months. Our army is more than capable of taking on the Chinese army, and we have shown our resolution. We have no intentions of giving in to Chinese. This has been what we have said for the last approximately 5-6 months. Now, if the Congress finds it difficult to find anything good in what the BJP does, if what their policy is, we have to say the BJP is doing wrong and that they are whatever words they want to use.
Let's look at solutions. I'm going to get in the experts also again. Supriya, you tell me what the Congress will suggest as solutions. Do you think that India should lay clear conditions, perhaps like we have in the case of Pakistan? What do you think needs to be done?
I mean, without a doubt, we have to get the Chinese to the table and hammer at least a statement out of them.
Sanket, could you please make sure that I'm able to hear what she says? I really don't know what she's saying.
Yes, she's saying that you try to pressurize the Chinese and hammer out.
Can I finish my sentence?
Yes, please go ahead.
Can I finish what I was saying?
Please.
I'm simply saying that I think it is incumbent upon the government of the day to get the Chinese to the table. We've been speaking to them now for 5 months. They have first refused to vacate our territory. They try and come from the south of China. And now they, you know, now there is a statement that doesn't talk about status quo. I think the government has to acknowledge that whether it is the Galwan Valley, whether it is the Hot Spring, whether it is the Pangong Lake, there have been intrusion. These guys have entered.
No, we all know that. Supriya, the big question is how and what needs to be done.
First, you have to stop playing domestic politics on foreign affairs. This is a very sensitive issue. You cannot be playing domestic politics on that. You cannot be getting defense ministry to withdraw statements of intrusion after they've been put up, because this raises doubt. This raises concerns in minds of ordinary citizens, not just political parties.
Okay.
You've got to hammer a settlement out of China. You spoke about your chemistry. Today is the time to put that chemistry to use. What good is that chemistry if the Chinese refuse to vacate our territory?
Okay, one by one. Ms. Kumaramangalam, before I come back to you, just one moment. Yep. Let me take, because it's very important to understand what solutions. Dr. Chelani, I want to ask you, what should India do? Should we have no talks? Like in the case of Pakistan, what did we say? No talks till terror stops. Should that be our strategy? Or should talks go hand in hand with this escalation along the border? What should we do? Okay, we seem to have lost that video connection. Ambassador Vishnu Prakash, would you like to weigh in on this?
What we should do is precisely what we are doing. We are conveying to them that we are wanting to solve the issues through talks, but that is not something that means that we are going to roll over and just accept their diktat. We have demonstrated our ability to defend our territory. And 29-30 August, what we did was, the preemptive move was, I think, a useful message. Two small bits I would like to add here. One, I do not want to get into a political, internal political debate. I will respectfully stay away. But let me say that from what I understand is that yesterday at Moscow, Dr. Jaishankar made it very, very, very clear that we want status quo ante to be restored. The rest, when you come to a joint statement, one has to find a language which is mutually acceptable. Our friends who were in government for 60 years know that very well. Thank you.
Okay. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. Maybe I can just squeeze in.
Yeah,
two
give
quick
me a
comments. Yes, two quick comments from Ms.
Okay.
Sirohi as well as Lalita Kumaramangalam.
I'll make
very
it very
quickly,
brief.
Yes,
I'll make it very brief. I'll just make points. One, Pakistan is not China. There's no point in comparing our relationship with the two countries with each other.
Okay.
Two, unlike the Congress, the BJP has never had any sort of agreement with the Communist Party of China, and we never will. Three, Mr. Jaishankar yesterday was very tough in what he said. He may have said it politely, but he was very tough. He did make it clear that we want status quo ante to be ensured as soon as possible. Four, it has been said repeatedly that even while we would prefer diplomatic and peaceful solutions, we will not hesitate to answer force with force. I don't think it can be made clearer than that.
And the Chief of Defense Staff said exactly the same thing. In the defense panel.
May I please finish speaking, ma'am? Don't interrupt.
I've run out of time.
And the Chief of
Ms. Kumaramangalam, I've run out of time. I have to give time to Ms. Sirohi also.
A very tough answer.
Ms. Sirohi, quick closing comments.
I would just make one major point, which is we have to tell our story better, and there has to be better strategic communication. Throughout this crisis, that is one major problem I have noticed sitting in Washington, D.C., we are even sort of afraid to call China the aggressor. I don't know what the Chanakya Niti in that is, But whatever it is, it's not giving us any returns.
All right. Vishnu Prakash, Prama Chelani, Ambassador Singh, Aina Tanjan, Seema Siroi, Lalita Kumaramangalam, and Supriya Shinde. Thank you so much. This is a very important discussion, needs to be had as much as possible. We're stopping for a short break on The Big Fight. When we come back, we're also going to be speaking to former External Affairs Minister Yashwant Sinha on what he feels about India's China strategy. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it partially right? What needs to be done? Back after this short break. Welcome back. Let's now cut across straight live to Mr. Yashwant Sinha to know from him, in his wisdom, does he think that our China strategy is right, wrong, partially right? What more needs to be done? Mr. Sinha, thank you so much for speaking to NDTV. My first question is exactly this. What do you make of the tension along the border? India seems to say that we are standing up to China and that's why this tension has happened. What's your opinion?
I don't agree with the government of India on this. China is a rogue state. It has been an imperialist power throughout history. It specializes in grabbing other countries' territories. And therefore, we should, while dealing with China, become acutely aware of this trait in the Chinese character. We have an undefined line of actual control spread over a nearly 4,000 kilometers. We should consider the fact that China will slice away our territory here and there by force. And therefore, we have to be continuously on our guard. If we let down our guard, then we are going to lose our territory. And this is exactly what's happened in Ladakh.
Now, Mr. Sinha, what do you make of this joint statement? I mean, there are talks that are taking place continuously, which is a good thing because, only dialogue is going to resolve conflict the world over. That's exactly how things have happened. But what do you make of the way or the manner in which these talks are happening? Because a lot of experts seem to suggest that this is a classic Chinese strategy, that they'll engage in talks, but really nothing much is going to move forward.
I'll completely agree with these experts. Because, we have been having military level talks at various levels ever since the crisis started. Then we had the Joint Secretary and the Minister of External Affairs talk to his counterpart some time ago. Then we had the Defense Minister recently meeting the Chinese Defense Minister. Now the External Affairs Minister has met with the Chinese External Affairs Minister. And every time some kind of a statement is issued, it has absolutely no meaning. We have to stand firm and protect our sovereignty and our ground. Our territory must be protected at all costs. Now, you said dialogue is the only way forward. I completely agree with you. But that does not apply to Pakistan. It applies to China. And there is a clear disconnect between the policy that we follow vis-a-vis Pakistan and the policy that we are following with China. I don't think the talks are going to lead to anything. The way the Chinese army is behaving, it's quite clear that they're going to hit us either in Ladakh, in the various sectors, or anywhere along the line of actual control.
Mr. Sinha, I wanted to ask you also from your wisdom and experience, how much should we bank on international support? See, there is a mood against China as of this moment. We seem to have great support and solidarity from the United States in the sort of favorable statements that come in from the U.S. as far as dealing with China is concerned. But what will happen to this global support, say, after the U.S. elections? There are a lot of murmurs that this is only valid, say, till the U.S. elections, and once that gets over, then U.S. is free to switch, perhaps go soft on China.
Not only the U.S., every country around us and throughout the world would look at their own national interest first. See what happened to the Belt and Road project. Remember that project, the Chinese project? All countries in our neighborhood agreed to join the Belt and Road project, initiative of China. So nobody listened to us. So as long as it is in their national interest to stand up with India, in terms of statements to be issued, they will do so, including the US. But when it comes down to brass tacks, comes down to a military conflict between China and India, I don't think any country is going to help India militarily.
Mr. Sinha, now this is a very short question, but perhaps the most complicated and complex. What do we do?
You know, I have written my autobiography, which was released by the late Pranab Mukherjee in July last year. In that, without anticipating all these developments, I described the policy that India should follow vis-a-vis China in one sentence. And I said, India should cooperate with China where such cooperation is in our mutual interest. India should compete with China where such competition is in our India should stand up to China where standing up to China is
necessary. Can you, Mr. Sinha, pardon me, can you just repeat what you said, because there was a bandwidth issue. It's a very important thing that you are saying. We somehow did not capture it.
Okay. I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
I have said in my autobiography, while dealing briefly with China, that India's policy towards China should be, one, it should go to China where such cooperation is in our mutual interest. It should compete with China where such competition is in our national interest. And it should stand up to China where such action is necessary in protecting our sovereignty. The present time is one such occasion where we have to stand up to China and protect our territory and our sovereignty. And we should go all out. We should not care. I mean, we are not the only ones responsible for global peace. And therefore, there should not be any repeat of Doklam. You know what happened to Doklam.
Correct.
So therefore, there should be no repeat in Doklam. There are reports that China has occupied in the last few months something like 1,000 square kilometers of our territory. It is our national duty to push them back and do whatever it takes to ensure that our territory remains under our control.
All right, Mr. Sinha, thank you so much. For the benefit of our viewers who could not capture the last bit of what Mr. Sinha was saying, he said, you stand up to China when your integrity and sovereignty is at stake, and this is one such moment. That's a wrap in this edition of The Big Fight, but news continues on the other side. Stay with us.